Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.fm, episode number 410. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my stand-in co-host is my company senior SEO, Scott Vanak.
Hello.
How is your day, my friend?
You know, my day is always good when you're a day away from a holiday. So
yeah,
as you know, I'm off next week for some summer break that I've been waiting for since last summer. So it's what it does is it makes a couple days before it lasts about 7 days, they feel like.
But, we do our best.
We do. But, you know, that's the way it goes. That's fine.
Well, yes. We always pay for our time off. It's ridiculous how that works. I sometimes just simply don't look forward to my 2 week vacations whenever they do happen. It's misery before that.
Oh, that's why I rarely take 2 weeks off at a time. I think I've done it two or three times ever. Because it's, you know, you get so much more work you've got to come back to. You know, that's the only thing I miss. The only thing I miss about the olden days of working retail when I was in college is that you go away on a holiday and you come back and somebody else has done all your work for you. And that doesn't happen in this industry. It just, well, not for me.
Well,
anyways.
You do have support now. You've got people work with, well, for you. So you can always get them to do a bunch of it.
That's true. That doesn't make a big difference. Back in the day, it was impossible. But, you know, that's good now.
Well, I guess we should jump into this. This sounds like some pretty darn good news about Shopify. Why do you lead with it?
Yeah, so for anyone out there using Shopify, until I think it was middle of June, you had no way of editing your robots.txt file. Robots.txt was just sort of, it was what it was, and you just had to deal with it. So as of last month, they have opened it up, and you can go in and do whatever you want to it. So you log into your Shopify account, you click on online store and into your themes and search for robots.txt.liquid and you can break your site if you like. It's all there for you now. So if you know what you're doing and you know why you want to go in there and change things, it's a piece of cake now. No plugins, modules, apps, none of that stuff is needed. Easy peasy. Probably even easier than WordPress, because even with WordPress, You need a plugin for that. You can't just go in and edit it in most cases.
Nice. Very nice. So, well, and I can't imagine it's going to be very long until Yoast jumps into that market. I'm kind of surprised they're not there now. I keep looking because I thought they did, but they don't have a plugin yet.
I feel like Shopify has definitely grown a ton in the past, well, especially since COVID, with more and more people coming into the e-commerce world that weren't before. So, you know, there's that, I think there probably is a market that would be worthwhile for Yoast at this point, but they're just so busy dealing with WordPress. Maybe he just doesn't need it.
Yeah, I don't know. I would put money on it happening soon. There's just so much that's been going on with e-commerce since COVID that he's a smart dude. It's got to be coming, but anyhow, who knows? Anyway, it does sound good. It's nice to hear that Shopify's listening finally to some of the suggestions over the many years they've been running. It is a very good platform. I mean, I don't ever hesitate to recommend it. And we certainly don't hesitate to take work on when they have a need for optimization, because in general, it's pretty damn good to optimize, isn't it?
Yeah. All in all, it seems to do quite well. You know, we have one client in particular who, I think her husband built the website and he didn't really know what he was doing. And somehow when it comes to things like Core Web Vitals, it rocks. And I sent them an email saying, oh, whoever built your site, I didn't know it was her husband at the time. I said, I just want to say, pat on the back to whoever built this, because the scores are fantastic. She's like, oh, he just built it. He didn't know. Just out of the box, the Web Vitals scores were awesome. So, you know, things like that go a long way.
One of the things I heard, it sort of reminds me of this, is one of Yoast's podcasts recently was talking about how a lot of people do they're trying to think ahead. Usually this is enterprise level, but they still try to think ahead and they build in redundancies in case something happens at Google or this and that, but it becomes bloatworthy. It increases code and can actually cause issues too. And you know, there's almost a benefit and this probably shows it, no offense to the designer, but that a certain amount of ignorance is bliss.
It's true. I believe that. Yeah. How often have you gone in to try to fix something and it, you know, it may look better, but it performs worse. And then you got to go back and tweak it. And yeah, for sure. I get it.
Yeah. And actually I should note, I highly recommend, I'm sure they're all good. I don't get around to listening to them all, but I listened to the recent one with my dear friend, Cindy Crum, Mobile Moxie. She did an interview with Yoast and she's wonderful. Anyway, she did a great job as usual. Lots of really good, intelligent discussions about the future of mobile marketing, how to get around things. It is not 101 necessarily. In fact, many, I think at least one point, they sort of said that a lot of what they're talking about is more for people who want to be cutting edge. And that's usually enterprise level when it comes to mobile, but, it's really worth the listen. I think I've got a few more minutes left, but I know I've heard the majority of it based on the talking points I saw. Anyway, well worth listening to. And yeah, Yoast is always fun to listen to too. Anyway, Shopify is all in all good platform to go with. So this is good news. All right. How Google cuts and ranks results set. Okay. How do I say this? How Google cuts and ranks result sets with magic signals. That's quite the name. Anyway, this was funny. It was I gather it's one of those video or podcasts that Google puts out where they sort of are trying to tell you all, you know, quote unquote, about how things work at Google. And it's interesting in that it talks about how they take search results and cut them down to 1,000. And then from there, very roughly how they wean it down to the top 10, the top 30, whatever. You're not going to get anything very insightful out of it, but it is interesting in that you do discover that, you know, how they break it down. Here, I'll give you a couple points or let's see how I'll read off a component of it. It's Gary Eish. He's pretty good. His English is pretty good, but you know, might be the odd stumble here in my case as I try to read it. So this was written by Barry Schwartz. So it's a bit of his and a bit of Gary. It says, this list is created, that 1,000 result list, but they're not done with the ranking yet. With the cut down list of 1,000, he said in this cut down list, that is where the magic is. The magic signals, and this is Gary saying this now, that we still apply in the result set to make them better for the user's query. And Barry says, one example is rank brain as a magic signal. I hate that term, magic signal. But he also mentioned the HTTPS boost as another. And I laugh hard about that because even here, he mentions that it's a tiebreaker. It's tiny boost. And that's the only thing he talks about. He doesn't share about anything else, really. He just explains that they then break it down and certain things in their magic formula will make the one ranking double in benefit or double in relevance over another, and it'll then move up. Essentially, it's all about the ranking algorithm's magic elements without saying anything more. For some reason, it was still interesting to read. Now that I talk about it, it sounds useless, but it was actually kind of interesting because it's just, I think it's a little peek into how they think. That's all.
So it's like when, you know, your three-year-old says, Dad, how do birds fly or where do babies come from? And you reply, magic. It's kind of the same. It's just the universal magic answer that should just satisfy all. And
they bump into each other and it's magic.
Yeah, you that's not quite where I was going for, but sure, that works as well.
It's funny that in the comments is a priceless thing from a Saturday Night Live skit. I forget his name, but he's going, magic. Perfect. Yeah. If only you could see me doing it. Magic. Anyway, it's people really just scorning this whole thing. I can't blame them. I mean, we all know that search results are far from perfect. And there's some examples here of some garbage that still show up and people get pretty irate about it. But you know what? Google's always going to be working on this stuff. And they need us to test it all for free and fix it. Help them fix it. Okay. I try to intersperse into our episodes little things that Scott and I run into on a regular basis. In my cases, are running a business and dealing with contracts, that kind of stuff. Well, in this case, a very prominent client of ours has decided to pause their SEO. I'm a bit dumbfounded by it, because even in the their reply, or their statement of in their email, they said, you know, we're really happy with the movement's been going on. It's going well. We're like working with Scott. That's a first.
Really?
And,
holy yes. cow.
Yeah.
Yes. Where's my, I'm going to call my mom. Just give me a second here.
And, they are only what, 3 months in?
It's new. Yeah. I think that one actually started in April. So what is that? Yeah. Three months roughly. Yeah.
It's way too early. I mean, it's so my title of this section of our discussion is, should you pause your SEO? And there are perhaps, you know, if money's seriously tight, you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. It's that simple. In their case, they're pausing it in favor of ads, which they're so thrilled with because they've gotten so much results. Well, that's natural.
I'll ads point out also in, us as well.
What's that?
Yeah, I'll just quickly point out that's us as well, the ad management.
Yes, of course, we do that too. But it's the SEO is so important because we know it's going to have better long-lasting results. It's, you know, you make your investment now, but it pays off major dividends later. And it is frustrating when someone pauses it. They think that the momentum is just going to continue. There's going to be a small amount of it. Hell, we're good at what we do. But the fact is, we need to build it more. Build it and build it and build it. Build it into the tidal wave versus a lapper, you know? When you're considering whether or not you should pause your SEO, really think about how long it's been. Ask your SEO. I mean, obviously, you're going to have to read through the lines. No SEO wants to stop working. But if they're a good SEO, they'll say, you know, perhaps we could, you know, give me 3 more months. All right. And at that point, and yeah, let's take a 3 month break. Cause any company, anyone who's running a company, an SEO company, a web marketing company knows that, you know, you can't fight budgets really. When a client is running low or wants to cut things back, you know, you've got to find a happy medium. But you also want to keep in mind that your job is to deliver. So do what you need to deliver so that they come back. And it is a little frustrating. I'm going to talk with a client because I haven't had that chat yet, but I'm just going to state that, you know, this is too early to pause. I mean, I get what you're doing, but if you want SEO to have any lasting effect, we need more momentum, and 3 months simply isn't enough. And I'm sure there's other instances where listeners may have had a really good reason to pause their SEO no matter what. And absolutely, I'm sure that's great. You share them with us actually on our forum. Go to facebook.com and type in SEO 101 podcast in the search, and you'll find our group. And please do post your questions or your experiences with that. I think it'd be fascinating to talk about it. It is a big part of everyone's business, marketing budgets, and SEO sometimes either seems a little bit vaporish. You know, they just don't know how much is being done or how much value they're getting. Especially if the company they're working with isn't clear enough about that. We do our best to be clear. We're trying all the time to improve upon that. But just the same, some clients don't even read that and they don't acknowledge it. And then they wonder why things are going down. So, and we don't want to see that. We don't. Anyway, I probably beat that to death, but do please post something about it if you have any experiences with that. And we'd love to talk about it in the show. Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the summer of Google updates, because there are a few right now.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Here's the truth you need to know about podcasting. The biggest problem you face right now as a future podcaster is the myth that it takes an enormous amount of time or effort to produce a high-quality professional podcast. Luckily for you, there's a solution to your problem. If you're an online marketer who really needs to grow an audience of buyers but can't do all the heavy lifting alone, then here's the solution you're looking for. Introducing the DFY Podcasting System. Here's what you get. 30 minutes of one-on-one training. a weekly podcast for you or your company, distribution to almost every podcast portal, an embeddable player for your website, an ebook called How to Podcast, created for WMR.fm show hosts, and much, much more. And best of all, you'll start seeing results with the DFY podcast system within a couple of weeks. You're just one podcast away from growing brand awareness and engagement in your business. Log on to podcast.wmr.fm and sign up for a deeply discounted rate today. That's podcast.wmr.fm. Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.fm, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company senior SEO, Scott Fenech. All right, what is happening with the summer of Google updates?
Yeah, Google is just... they're working hard on updating things. I mean, we all know that their algorithmic updates probably 3 or 4 times a day. There's, what was it, over 1,000 a year, they say. But these are bigger updates, so ones that people take notice Core. For. Not like the, yeah, like they're quite big. So I don't even know where to start here. So in June, the beginning of June, we started with the most recent Core update. That was part one of the latest Core update on June 2nd. Part two of that update just rolled out, well, I shouldn't say just now, I believe it was on July 1st. Leave it to Google to do a Core update on and right before a holiday. So July 1st is Canada Day, and the 4th of July is a couple days after that. So yeah, great time for a Core update. Thankfully, at least when it comes to our clients, we actually had one client who had a bit of a win there, and the rest basically stayed neutral with smaller gains. So we skated through that one, which is fantastic. Not always the case, but it was this time. So that's fun. We got Core updates happening in July. The page experience update started rolling out in June, and that's going to continue until August, until it's fully done, so they say. We also had a spam update, which took place near the end of June. It was another two-part update. Google's really getting into breaking things up and rolling them out slowly, I see. Spam update took place on the 23rd and the 28th and affects web and image search globally. You are listening to us, so you're probably not a black hat spammer. So you may have not seen any effect of that. And you know, if you're a bad guy out there, you're probably hurting right now. I don't know, but our clients are all, you know, so-called white hat. We don't generally... at least right now, I don't think we have any clients who are in industries that are really spam heavy in search results. So it didn't really affect us. But if you're in, say you're in the gambling industry or any kind of adult oriented or maybe supplements or
you know, money, any, your life. That
kind of yeah, stuff. any your money, your life type sites, really a lot of them. Yeah, you might have seen gains as a result of this, unless, of course, you are one of the spammers. But of course, you're not. So if you're an honest guy or person, you... probably saw little to no movement and probably only positive, if anything. And who knows, probably more updates coming soon. This is, when did summer start? About 2 weeks ago, technically. So we've got 2 months more. Maybe there'll be another Core update in August. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah. And a lot of colleagues are sort of sharing our sentiments from earlier on other shows that the Core Web Vitals they're good to follow. Hell, anything that speeds up your website and provides a good experience for users and potentially increases conversions as a result is a good thing. So you can't fault that, but don't let anyone stress you out about it. Just because they're being put into play does not mean that you're going to lose rankings, that you're going to be really behind the eight ball if you're not jumping on them right away. Google's even their analysis tools are kind of garbage. They're changing. Nothing's firm. No, you'll do one chest one day and it's different the next.
They're definitely saying the page experience update is focused largely as a tiebreaker. I'm hearing the words tiebreaker a lot lately. And
like interesting. HTTPS.
Absolutely. But what's actually interesting, and I haven't even told Ross about this yet, is I'm working on a very small kind of consulting contract right now. And as part of this, I wanted to take a look and see how their page speed insights were looking and their core web vitals and that sort of thing. And I really am curious. I want to look back at their historical data and see how they've done over this update, if it's made a difference, because their mobile score and their desktop score in page speed insights was 100, which I don't think I've ever seen that ever, to see 100 across the board.
Something's broken.
yeah. I've seen it close. I've seen a lot in the 90s. I've never seen 100 in 100. And then if I look, well, I shouldn't say never, but the sites I've seen it on are, you know, we don't even have to talk about those. And then when it comes to Core Web Vitals, their scores are rocking. It's green across the board. Looks really, really good. And so I really want to know before that update started how they were looking and how they are after, and see if they saw any wins there. Because if anyone's going to, it's those sites that are just rocking it and have awesome scores.
Well, we'll have to see how that all pans out.
Realistically, it'd probably be a couple of years before it actually has a noticeable impact, like HTTPS, for instance, and all that.
Well, and again, yeah, and like you say, quote unquote tiebreaker. It's not going to be the end all. It's just something to work on. And I actually found it funny listening to that podcast with Cindy and Yoast. They were saying that they felt it was just Google. And I've heard this a number of times. Google's just using this to make us test for them. Like that we're just improving the internet for them to make it cheaper for them to index.
True.
It really is. It's just costing us too much money to index all your content. So speed it up, but make it lighter. Thank you.
They're just tricking us to make the internet better. Yeah. In fairness, sure, Google has a lot to gain by people having faster sites, but so do I. You know, if I'm out at the, you know, out and about on my phone and I want to look up something on my cell data plan, and for those of you in Canada know that we pay way too much for cell data, yeah. You know, saving every little megabyte makes a big difference on your bill at the end of the month. And some places don't have to worry about that with their unlimited plans, lucky people, but not us. So it makes it better for everybody, really. And it's faster, it's cheaper. Just Google saves probably the most, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I shouldn't even say for sure. Like, they just do. It's not even a question.
Yeah, and the thing that bothers me, I think, is that the SEO industry has jumped on this. Like, if I get in a smarty, I mean, it's all about, you need to upgrade everything now. It's going to cost you this many thousands of dollars. Hey, you know what? I get it. We all have to eat. But don't overdo it. The clients don't need to think that this is the end of the world if they're not getting a top of the line Core Web Vital.
In fairness, though, a year ago or so when this was first announced, it kind of seemed like it was going to be critical.
It did.
Like, yeah. So, you know, you can only go with what information Google gives you.
I think we just know better by now.
We really should. Google said something, ignore it. Doesn't matter.
Well, you know, unless it seems like it's obviously bad, like spam, then don't worry so much about it. Let things shake out. It always comes out at the beginning as something one way, and then it changes a bit later. So yeah, it never seems to fail. Okay, dokie. Google offers 5 content creation tips for success. This is... nothing surprising, but I thought it would be a good recap for anyone who does content. Another excellent article from Roger Monty. It's a 6-minute read. You can find it on Search Engine Journal. Again, the title is Google Offers 5 Content Creation Tips for Success. It's their advice is categorized into five topics. Number 1, block time on your calendar. And yeah, that is not something most people do. I got to admit, I have a hard time doing that even. And it is singular. I mean, you can't get anywhere if you don't make the time to write that content
and commit to it. How often do you block time in your calendar and then go off on some tangent anyways?
Yeah. And our contracts exclusively, like literally always say you need to write content for us to be successful. There's rare circumstances where clients come to us with a ton of content they haven't well marketed, and we can just work with that. But it's so rare. Really, when it comes down to it, you have to continually be a thought leader, show yourself as being the best at what you do. Or if in the case of dentists, it's not about being the thought leader. It's just ensuring that you've got the content there, that you're not falling behind the competition, and potentially you're jumping on top of new technologies or discussing new technologies at least, and saying why you don't have them yet or why you may next year. Why not? Just keep people in the know. And the next one is play to your strengths. So talk about what you know, talk about what you know, do a great job of it. Always do a great job. Create in batches. That's number three. So if you're going to do some writing, try and do in a batch of three or four articles or whatever, especially if you can do them in series, like episode or part one or part two, part three, part four of a particular topic, and break it into quite an amazing piece of information that can later, and this is not from this is just from my own experience, might even be in here, I don't know, but you could then create that into a little ebook download later. Just, you know, flesh it out a little more, but it becomes its own little ebook ready to go. Then number four, reduce, rework, and repurpose your content. Oh, there you go. So in some cases, you've written content that did really well 2 years ago, and sure, it's outdated, but really how much effort would it take to make it up to date again? And because those pages typically have very good link authority, did have some buzz in the past, it's not too hard to recreate that again. And you end up doubling the amount of links perhaps that it's gotten. And it's sensible. It's a really good move. Repurposing your content, it comes back to that ebook concept I was saying about, telling you about. You could even then break it into a video series, or perhaps if we had a piece of content that was doing exceptionally well, we would then decide, okay, well, let's blow this up a bit. Let's create a podcast series about it now. Next, prioritize value over quantity, or quality, I mean. And I want to see what they mean by this. I'm just jump down to five. Why isn't everything numbered? A common stumbling block for content creation strategists is focusing on quality. What often happens is that each article becomes a monumental undertaking centered on comprehensiveness, equating wordiness with quality. And I'm quoting here from Rogers' article. Writing a top 500 article is a way to outrank a publisher who is ranking well the top 50 article is a naive approach to content creation. When writing content, it is always best to provide, focus on providing value. There's a quote here from Rigel Gemini. Don't know who that is. Quote, focus on the value you offer your readers. People will read a post that has an eye-catching image, but more importantly, people will return your knowledge and expertise, unquote. Turn. Not sure I'm grasping this 100%, but I actually believe in quality. I don't believe wordiness means quality, though. I believe in creating ultimate articles, the kind of thing that someone can't help but share, that people just go, this is, I'm bookmarking this when I need to know how to make a video or how to understand schema. All number of things. That's really what you want to do. You want to create something that's just so useful. Sure, someone else might have the same content. In fact, they might say the exact same thing, but it's just not written as well, or provided in such a simple, digestible format. So that was that article. I think it brought up some good points there that were worth recovering. All right. We have some Mueller files, of course. So Google's John Mueller, sometimes there is no solution. I got a kick out of this, the VHS comment particularly. Do you want to take this on, Scott?
Yeah, sure. So there was a question posted to Reddit. I'm not sure of the poster's name. They said, if I hire an SEO expert service, would they be able to find out what's going wrong with my website and help me improve it? They added a bit more detail saying their site has had little to no traffic for 6 years. I just blog. I don't do any coding or anything. I don't do link building either. So it's kind of funny because there's a lot to unpack there. There's just so much to unpack there. But we'll start with John's response. And he says, one thing to keep in mind is that it's possible that there is just no SEO solution. 6 years is a long time, and the web and Google News and everything around it has evolved quite a bit. Sometimes it's not a technical issue. Sometimes it's not something you can fix by just buying a bunch of links. And I want to unpack that a little bit too. Sometimes it's just that the site strategy is now obsolete. You can have a fantastic website, make it super fast, have high authority and trustworthiness, however you want to define that. But if you're selling VHS cassettes, you're just going to have a bad time. I don't even know where to start. I've got a lot to say about this. But it's true. Like, we don't have enough background information on Buddy's website here. So if maybe his specific situation can be solved. Maybe he's got some critical errors, maybe whatever. But it's true, though, if you have a product or topic that you're talking about, like if you're selling VHS tapes or giving advice on repairing typewriters, it doesn't matter how much SEO you do, you're not going to get a heck of a lot of traffic. And he does ask about traffic, not rankings. So, which is a totally different thing. I mean, he could have awesome rankings for buy VHS tapes now with one search per month. You know, it's not gonna do you a heck of a lot of good.
Yeah, and I was thinking, like, I was trying to think other ones that would be also just as bad, like selling laser discs or cassette Walkmans.
Oh, I miss my dandies. Sony Walkman.
I do too. I actually still have mine.
Oh, do you?
I was for wear, but I love looking at it because it was my baby. I love that.
You thing. Love looking at it. That's what all you can do with it. It's now.
Good memories, man. Yeah, you really. It does still work too, but it got cracked and anyway.
You know, and I miss taking a tape out of the Walkman and grabbing a pencil and winding it back up because it's all like shot out all inside the Walkman. Kids these days will never know. They'll just never.
No,
know.
They won't. They're all like, "What the hell are these old fogies talking about?"
What is a tape?
Of course, the perhaps older listeners will be thinking, oh, I remember the, what was it, eight? See, I can't remember. What were they called? Eight tracks.
Oh, yeah, eight tracks. I feel like I had a car with an eight. My first car had an eight track in it.
Oh, dear. Wow.
Yeah, that stereo came out pretty fast. But it had one. It was in there.
Oh, I love it. Well, I feel like this next article has come up before. Or sorry, did you have anything else you wanted to unpack there?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Buying
probably
a bunch
not.
Of links.
If we were having a conversation directly with the person who, the buying a bunch of links, that's kind of funny. So, or just by buying a bunch of links, it almost implies that buying a bunch of links can help. And it's not wrong. I mean, depending how you do it, I suppose buying links can help. But he says it kind of in a way that's kind of nonchalant, like, yeah, you can go buy a bunch of links. That's fine. But it won't help you in this case. Like, just, I don't know. It caught me off guard. I wouldn't expect to hear those words in that context now coming out of John's.
Well, he did put in fingers. A quote.
That's true. Yeah, he did.
Chuckle, chuckle.
Yeah.
We know he's chuckling. We know John well enough. But so in this next bit, he says, Google's John Mueller doesn't see SEO becoming obsolete. And I think he's covered this recently, didn't he? Anyway. We've certainly seen enough of this and lately. And I even remember Yoast and Cindy were talking about this and the fact that it is very true that this is simply not only not true, but SEO is just getting busier. There's just so much going on, especially with all this this cookie nightmare for paid ads. Paid ads is still busy, still lots of value there, but it's more difficult. So SEO is winning on that one. No question about it. A lot of people don't understand what SEO is. they're bundling it in with a whole bunch of other stuff. Anyway, I'll read John's response that you posted here. He says, I don't know. Good question. I don't have that 5-minute answer on the future of SEO. I think one of the things that people always worry about is everything around machine learning and that Google's algorithm will get so far as to automatically understand every website and SEO will be obsolete. Nobody will need to do that. I don't think that will happen. With all of these new technologies, you'll have new tools and new ways of looking at your website and making it maybe easier for you to create really good content to create clear structures for your website. Similar to how things have evolved the last 10 to 20 years as well, where in the beginning you would write your own PHP code and craft your own HTML. And it was a lot of work. And over time, all of these CMSs evolved where essentially anyone can go off and create a website without having to really understand any of these HTML and kind of like server-side basics. Wow, this is a long quote. anyway, what it comes down to is, yes, Google's made it easier for people to get into the field. But there's always going to be advanced aspects of it. That's my take on it. There's always going to be problems that an SEO is required for. Navigating it all is, well, it's funny. I often find it relatively simple. But of course, we've been in this game for a long time. And I underestimate how much we know. I talk to other people, and you know, a lot of people are still talking from the basics, and SEO is never going to be simple for them. What do you think?
It's such an age-old question, you know, the death of SEO. And I think it's almost always just clickbait, because I don't think it matters what Google does. SEO can never die. No matter what technology does, it can never die, because there's always that human aspect that you need. You're there. If where there's a number one, there's always a number two that wants to be number one. And how are you going to get there? And SEO may just come down to, you know, installing the correct AIs on your website to make things happen. I mean, we're not there yet, but, you know, just because you Google fully understands every website in the world, let's assume they did, you still need to make yours better. And that might come down to content generation. Even if it's an AI creating the content, you need to seed that, or you need to train it as to what you want. There's always going to be some aspect of SEO. It will evolve. In 20 years from now, we're not going to recognize it compared to today, just like SEO from 2002 is significantly different than what it is now. So it'll
and
never
it's just
die.
Accelerating, especially with machine learning.
Oh, and GPT-2, like there was a lot about that with SMX Advanced. People were talking about it. And I'm still like, I'm trying to grasp it, you know, like how, I don't know how I can use it on my day-to-day yet, but I mean, those days will come, of course. And it's still an emerging technology, really, but all the AI stuff it's insane. And it's going to be a big part of every SEO's future. And well, I want to say 10 years because I don't want to learn it all right now, but it's going to be a lot quicker than that for sure.
Yeah. 2 years, it's going to be seemingly advanced over 2 years.
Absolutely.
But they're definitely hitting walls. It's all another discussion. I'm certainly not an authority on it. I read it when I can. But there's no question that it's going to make things very interesting for Google trying to find spam. Because although the writing is not great yet by these auto spinner, auto writers that artificial intelligence can use, but you can see a time where that will occur. And then how the hell will Google determine what is written by humans and what isn't? Or will it matter as long as the content's good? That's really what it comes down to. Anyway, fascinating stuff. Long and short of it is no, there's no way that SEO is becoming obsolete. It's just not even possible. And yes, of course, we're biased here, but I think we've made it clear why that doesn't matter. It's simply impossible for it to become obsolete anytime soon anyway. And yeah, I'll keep my fingers crossed too. Just so there's no advance that screws everything up.
Just in case.
We never see it all. Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company's senior SEO, Scott Van Ack, thank you for joining us today. Remember, we have a show notes newsletter you can sign up for at SEO 101 Radio. It's SEO101radio.com, I should say. Don't miss a single link, and you can refresh your memory of a past show at any time. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air every week on WMR.fm.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.